At the beginning of ordinary time, when we strive to let the gospel order our lives, we hear in this gospel about the first of Jesus' signs. It says, when he began to reveal his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. Have you begun to believe in Jesus? Have you grown in your belief since the beginning? If we're not growing our faith in God, then we're growing a faith in ourselves, or worse, and that leads nowhere fast. Let's see how the scriptures today bring order to the beginnings of our faith. In the book of Genesis, God created for 6 days and rested on the Sabbath, right? And then, implicitly in Genesis, there was the wedding of the first man and the first woman. In the Gospel of John very consciously evokes those 7 days of creation in naming the first days of Jesus' ministry, which culminates on the seventh day here with the wedding. This is a great gospel. Not, first of all, because Jesus produces an abundance of wine. That's not bad at all. But this is not the main point either. Genesis had a man and a woman. So first, notice who in the gospel is the man and who is the woman. In the gospel, Jesus calls his mother, of all people, woman. Nowhere in Jewish literature does a Jewish man ever call his mother woman. Surely not, and get away with it. But Jesus does. Because Jesus is the new Adam, the new man. And Mary is the new Eve, the new woman. The first Adam, the first Eve, were created without sin. So were the new ones. This is precisely why Jesus says to her, woman, what is that to you and me? What is that to you and me? In other words, they're without wine. They're without the joy of the covenant. They're enslaved by sin, but not you and I. Woman, Eve, their enslavement to sin doesn't touch you and me. My hour is not yet. But when my hour comes, my hour on the cross, then I will pour out upon them in eternal abundance the new wine of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the new and eternal covenant. When the Blessed Mother says they have no wine, she's acting with the mother's insight. Because in the Bible, wine's a sign of the joy of the covenant. Mary's sensitive heart notices that joy is missing in this wedding. A few verses later, we find out why. The 6 stone water jars for religious purification were empty. At this wedding and throughout the Old Testament, they weren't able to truly worship God because they weren't able to be cleansed from the stain of Adam and Eve's sin. Maybe Mary recognized that the groom didn't have a sacrificial love for his bride. Maybe she saw the bride missing that love, lacked respect for her groom. First thing Jesus does is to fill up the jars with water for purification, cleansing us, transforming our stony and impure hearts into pure and fleshy ones. And then, from that purification, from the purification that comes from his cross, he restores authentic joy, symbolized by the superabundance of wine, symbolizing the eternal abundance of his Spirit. And in the course of this beautiful gospel, we come to see that the real bridegroom at this feast is Christ himself. And the real bride is his beloved, the church, symbolized by Mary in the meeting. On the cross, Jesus revealed himself as the bridegroom willing to suffer and die to make his bride, the church, virginal pure, beautiful in every conceivable grace. Those 6 stone water jars were used for ceremonial washings. They were merely ceremonial. Jesus' sign points to the future hour on the cross when he will wash all believers in his own blood and pour out his Spirit upon us. Each of those stone jars, it says, held 20 to 30 gallons. So Jesus made between 120 and 180 gallons of wine. But this water turned wine. It's a sign of the blood and water, of the grace that flowed from his side on the cross to wash us, his beloved, clean on the inside. That's true glory. Not to win a contest, or to win someone's praise, but to win the battle over sin and all the evil that lies within our hearts. That's glory worth fighting for. And every bridegroom out there, whether your bride is your wife or the church, is solemnly charged with the duty to fight the battle against sin so that your bride too will be washed clean, free from the influence of evil. You're charged to sacrifice for your bride. We're all called to sacrifice for our bride, the church. The gospel isn't some cute story about Jesus supplying liquor for a wedding. It's about Jesus revealing to every groom out there your charge to suffer and die for your bride, to lift her out of the muck of sin and closer to God, to die for her virtue. Jesus, the bridegroom, does this for us. That's what he calls us to do as well. And notice who else is at the center of the bridegroom's sacrifice for his bride, the mother of Jesus. Mary says to Jesus, "We have no wine." In other words, what we've always relied on to get us by has finally run out. The ways of the world that continually entice us and seduce us have run dry. What are some things that help us deal with this world? Pornography? It's not love, it's lust. It's always destructive. Alcoholism, workaholism, uncontrolled anger, sterile or sterilized acts of love. Lots of other ways that we try to cope with this world in unhealthy and sinful ways. The mother of Jesus says to us, that's not real wine. Real wine doesn't drug us. Real wine brings joy. The wine of Jesus brings freedom from the sin that clings to us. Mary says to Jesus, they have no wine. They have only distractions. They have nothing to free them. Help them. They're empty. Help them. Mary understands who can help us. Which is why she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you.
says to us, do whatever he tells you. Please listen to him. Listen to my son. He knows your soul. He knows everything about you. Listen to him. Men, will you sacrifice to the bride's virtue? Women, you exhort your family, friends, to listen and do whatever Jesus tells us. Here's the homework for the week. Bang on the doors of heaven this week that you can be a true groom who sacrifices for the virtue of his bride and a true bride who always points to Christ. Give up on the distractions of this world and seek the true and eternal one, Christ's Holy Spirit, poured forth from his cross.